The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We are live in Cleveland.
Yes, we are, Brian. And you know, when you tell, I don't know if you had the same phenomenon that I had, but every time I told people, yeah, I'm heading out to the RNC, it's in Cleveland, first thing they say?
Go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And frankly, the only thing they say.
That's right.
Is go to the, what are they going to say? Go to a Cleveland Indians game?
Ah, I mean, come no, on. No, come on. That would be really
joining us
no
right,
need to do that.
Joining us right now, Greg Harris. He's the president and CEO of said and aforementioned Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You have the greatest job in America, my friend.
Why, thank you. I'm honored to be there, and it's a wonderful museum. Everybody should come visit it. It is our story. It's a story of all of our lives. And by the way, I got to defend Cleveland. Our Indians are in first place right now. Come on, guys.
All right. Yes, it's going to be an Indians-Cubs World Series, if you say so. Let me ask you this, because I have not gone yet, and I do intend to go, but every time I think about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I just imagine it as a big Hard Rock Cafe without the chicken wings. How am I wrong?
The difference is the Hard Rock Cafes are great experiences, and they're all about decorating their places.
Right.
We're not. We tell stories.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want 30 Jimi Hendrix things. We want the actual guitar that played the national anthem at Woodstock by Jimi Hendrix in front of 250,000 people.
Which I'm guessing you have.
That's on exhibit. Right. That's what we have. We have the original lyrics to these songs, and we really... that's our goal. We want to tell stories, talk about how rock and roll has shaped our country, how rock and roll reflects our culture, and what it means to all of us.
Yeah, and I love going through looking at the technology, the recording technology, because I'm sort of one of those buffs, you know, old microphones, old gear. I love that kind of stuff. But it is everywhere you go. There's an amazing. You go, holy moly, they've got that here. I mean, you turn around every time you look, there's something you're just shocked that you're seeing.
Yeah, you know, that to us, that's vitally important. And by the way, as a tech guy, many people know Les Paul is a brand of guitar.
Right.
You know, Les was a person, a phenomenal guitar player. He invents multi-track recording.
Right.
Which I'm looking at
changed
your mixing board right
that's
now.
That's right, yeah.
You know, that's Les.
Changed rock and roll forever, the way records are produced.
In some of Les's prototypes, his other pieces are on exhibit at the museum.
Yeah.
And we go from that all the way up to, you know, Slash and the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and Chuck Berry. It's all there.
I got to ask you, though, because there is an intersection between rock and roll and politics, and it's all about politics this week in Cleveland. Do you have any exhibits over there that sort of speak to that?
You know what? We dedicated the top two floors of our building to a special exhibit. It's called Louder Than Words, Rock, Power, and Politics. And you're D.C.-based. We did it with our partners at the Newseum.
Oh, yeah.
Created this incredible exhibit. It's going to be up all summer long. People should come see it. And then it's going to go to D.C. and be at the Newseum for a while.
Ah.
And in that, it tells the story of rock and roll and politics. It tells the story of civil rights, tells the story of women's rights, and it talks about stuff that's happening today.
So I got to tell you, our guest is Greg Harris, president and CEO of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You're right, we're D.C.-based. We're a news politics talk station, so we talk about a lot of news and politics. But on Mornings on the Mall, every morning as people are going to work, we often talk about pop culture. And whenever the ballot is issued for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we always take at least a half an hour of phone calls of people who were angry at who got admitted, angry at who got admitted. It's a very controversial thing. I got to ask you, who makes these decisions? How are the inductees determined? Because there are some woefully inadequate choices, in my opinion, sometimes.
You know, the great thing is people care who's on the ballot and who's not on the ballot.
Oh, yes, they do.
There's a major... That means we're relevant. If people didn't care, it would be really troubling. But people care who's on the ballot, who's not on the ballot. The way the ballot comes together, it's a group of roughly, you know, 25, 26 historians, musicians, music journalists, and they actually do a face-to-face meeting, and everybody nominates two, and you work through a series of voting and rounds of voting and get it to a ballot of 15. Now, the difference with our ballot compared to some of the other Halls of Fames, the ballot gets created every year.
Yeah.
So just because you're on the ballot one year doesn't mean you're guaranteed the next year.
But the one thing that I always want to know about when those things come out is, you know, sometimes I see these acts that are on the list. I say, that's not really rock and roll.
Right.
How do you define rock and roll?
So, you know, rock and roll, it isn't frequently that comes up because it's a type of music that maybe people aren't particularly excited about or didn't move them. Rock and roll itself is an attitude. It's always pushing the envelope. It's calling for change. You frequently hear the question, well, it's hip hop, it's dance, it's not rock and roll. Quite frankly, if you think of Run DMC, their music inspired so many and pushed so many and questioned so much that it's got as much rock and roll in its DNA as Jimi Hendrix or Chuck Berry.
So how do you explain Hall & Oates?
How do I explain
that?
No,
I'm kidding. I'm joking. The
best-selling duo of all time?
I was a proponent of Hall & Oates going in there. I was with them. I'm a little upset about Styx. We got to get Styx in there. See, this is the thing. There are a whole lot of really hugely selling and very popular, continue to sell out arenas, rock and roll bands like Styx, and they're snubbed. Because I think there's a snob quotient. About fans? We live in the world of social media. Let the people have a word.
All right, so let's talk about that a little. It's the record sales.
It's getting a little defensive. You can see it. We're going to Facebook Live this. You can watch.
Perfect. It's all about impact and influence. And impact and influence doesn't necessarily equate to record sales. Just because you had Billboard number one hits and sold millions of records doesn't mean you were impactful and influential and pushed the art form forward. Did you do something new? Did you do something different? Or are you similar to others? Now, you could arguably say that the wider distribution, you can impact more people. But think about a band like the Velvet Underground. Highly, highly impactful. They drove the bus forward. They probably sold 100,000 records in their day and age. Not millions. And then the other piece of that, its impact and its influence, and the fan vote is important. We actually have an online fan vote component now. We've done it for the last 2 years. 60 million votes were cast last year. It's a big part of what it is, and like the Heisman Trophy, the fan vote counts for a weighted vote with the wider body.
Oh, I did not know that. Thank you for explaining that. Brian, if I say to anyone on the street, Domo Arigato, they don't say Doi Tashimashite. They say Mr. Roboto.
That's right.
Now, that is influence. That is impact. I will not rest until Styx is in the Rock and Roll Hall.
Who is the one group that you always get to say, why aren't they there?
Yeah.
You know what? I used to get that a lot, and a number of them have been elected the last few years. We used to hear about Kiss. Kiss is now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That was huge.
Rush is now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. By the way, the most polite fans in the world. They voiced their displeasure, but they did it nicely. Rush fans are now in. Rush is now in. And some of the fence sitters now, quite frankly, the Moody Blues have been on the ballot and talked about.
Big fan of the Moody Blues.
And there's a great fan base. They care about their music, and they've lobbied for them. Many others have since gone over the top.
It sounds like a big component of getting in is creating a sound, not just songs, but a sound. And I know that the Beatles are in, of course. Paul McCartney on his own is in. John Lennon is also on his own in.
Yes.
Ringo Starr. That is a distinctive sound that there's a viral video of all these modern day drummers sitting at his trap set talking about how influential he was. What about Ringo Starr in the Hall of Fame?
So you're absolutely right. You know, Ringo was a Beatle for a grand total, I believe, of 7 years. And he's been Ringo Starr for 40 years, written a lot of great songs, done a lot. And the wonderful news is in 2015, Ringo was inducted.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Right here in Cleveland.
See,
Paul McCartney did the induction.
All right.
We need to do a better job.
I got to get out there. I got to get to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Inducted or not inducted, you need a website.
If only I were in Cleveland, I would be able to go. Oh, wait a minute. I am.
You are.
All right.
I can see it.
All right.
And if you're wondering about this induction stuff, go to rockhall.com and check it out.
There you go.
And will you give us a personal backstage tour if we show up? That's really what we want to know.
You know what? Come
on. Put him on the spot, why don't you?
Come on over. I'll be happy to walk you through the museum and talk about this great place.
All right. Well, it is an amazing place. I wish I'd had more hours to be there. I had to rush through the last time. So I'm hoping that while I'm here in Cleveland this week, I'll get to go and really spend some time.
And it's great to hear that Rush Limbaugh is there now. He really deserves it. Thanks. You said Rush is inducted, right? He has been influential.
No, that's a different Rush, I'm
are
sure.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm
not
clear on that. He was a great guitar player, right?
Yeah. Something like that.
All right. Well, listen. Thanks
Greg Harris.
Greg Harris, good stuff. Thanks for
Rock
dropping
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Thanks.